Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys today coming up. It is Lamar Jackson Day on Send It In, wearing the Ravens jersey, of course. That is my team. Mark Ennis going to stop by talking about Lamar's alma mater, Louisville, who should be a really interesting team out of the ACC this year. Excited to get Mark's thoughts. And then also, we got the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs starting tomorrow on the PGA Tour down in Memphis. We'll give out our full card at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, we love it when you're interactive. Send in all your thoughts, especially on Louisville or the Ravens. Let us know. Hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, or on X, and we'll get to all your questions and your comments over the next 30 minutes throughout the show. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, as always, we have you covered with the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Wednesday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line and check in with Mark Ennis, who joins us, host of the Drive 93.9 The Ville, Monday through Fridays, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Mark, appreciate the time, man. This Louisville team is going to be really interesting for this upcoming season. Year three of Jeff Brohm back at his alma mater, and expectations are high. Are people expecting Louisville to be a contender this year in the ACC and get back to the ACC title game where they were a couple years ago?
Yeah, I think there's, I don't know if it's expectation necessarily, but I think they certainly feel like that's a reasonable goal. That's something they can do. They can be a team that makes it back to Charlotte. There are elements of this team that are downright better than the one that made it to Charlotte a couple of years ago. The schedule is easier than it turned out compared to a year ago. And everyone that they would be chasing, you know, or competing for a spot in the ACC championship game, they get them this year. You play Miami, you play SMU, you play Clemson. It's entirely in your hands, you know, whether you can navigate this ACC schedule and make it back to Charlotte or not. And I don't really know that there's much more you can ask for than that.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that schedule, Mark. Which one for you do you think is going to be the toughest game if you had to single one out? Because you mentioned they get the three teams that everybody thinks are probably going to be the best three in the conference, yeah, along with Louisville. Clemson is at home, Miami, SMU on the road. Which game, if you had to pick one, do you think would be the toughest?
Well, I think the Miami one is huge because it's earlier in the year. And that you feel like in some ways it's going to be kind of a tone setter with Miami on a Friday. You get a week off before that, but they're going to start the season 3-0. It's the non-conference games against Eastern Kentucky, James Madison, and Bowling Green. They play Pitt and Virginia. You should win those games and be 5-0 heading into that Miami game. If you win the Miami game, then it's Boston College, Virginia Tech, Cal. Like, you should have a gaudy record by the time the Clemson game gets here, and that'll be a huge game on the schedule. But it really all starts with, can you go down to Miami and win like you did 2 years ago? Both of those games against Miami the last couple of years have been nip-tuck, one-score games. But Louisville was able to pull it out 2 years ago, lost, you know, in a one-score game last year against a Miami team. The guy, it just seems like they couldn't do anything with Cam Ward, against the Cam Ward. So it's the Miami game early, I think, really keeps every big goal on the table if you win that game early in the season in October.
Yeah, no doubt. Mark, something I've been noticing when we've been previewing a couple of these ACC teams, it's interesting the strategic, like, bye weeks that some of these teams have. And what I noticed with Louisville is that they have their two bye weeks kind of early on. in the season. So they're going to finish the year with seven straight games. And obviously, if they do make it into the ACC title game, there's a chance they could be playing eight games in 8 weeks. I know they had something similar where they played like seven straight games, had Clemson where they upset the Tigers in Death Valley last year before going into their bye week. Is that something that Jeff Brohm does? Like, has he talked about that? Because I do find it interesting how their bye weeks are a little bit staggered early, play all these games late. Obviously not ideal when you're playing that many games against a lot of good teams. I'm just curious if that's something that he does by design or if he's talked about that at all.
The answer is no. It's not something that he does by design. It really kind of gets handed down from on high by the ACC. Like you get some say in your non-conference games, but they get all the say really in the last 8 weeks of the season for the most part. And not only does he not do this by design, he's pretty pissed about it. He's not really thrilled with that down the stretch. And so, you know, I think it's imperative that they use the first five games of the year, which includes those bye weeks in there. So that first half of the schedule, you got to take care of business against Eastern Kentucky, against James Madison, against Bowling Green. You got to keep some of the wear and tear off of guys and basically kind of have two seasons where after that Miami game, it's, hey, this is who we are for the rest of the year. We got to keep some of the mileage off some of these key guys, because if there's anything that got the team 2 years ago, it was they were very beat up by the end of the year. Jamari Thrash was a big threat for them, and he barely played the second half of the year. Juwar Jordan barely played the second half of that year, and it made a difference. It kind of hampered them, you know, down the stretch, and I know they want to avoid that this year for sure.
Yeah, that second bye week, Mark, comes on October 11th, so from October 17th through November 29th, seven straight games of football for Louisville. We're talking the Cards here with Mark Ennis on Send It In. Mark, let's talk about the quarterback this year. Miller Moss comes over from USC, another one of those guys in the era that we're in with college football where I think people that are getting ready for the season, they're like, wow, Miller Moss is now in Louisville for the Cardinals. But I think it's going to be a great fit with Jeff Brohm and company this year. Obviously does such a great job year in and year out with his QBs. What have the early thoughts, impressions been so far with Miller Moss throughout the summer?
Yeah, he's made an impression on folks. He comes across really well. Jeff has a type, and it's not necessarily a physical type, but Jeff has a type of like a mindset guy, guys who feel like, hey, I only have one more shot at this. This is my last year. I've got something to prove. People are doubting me. You know, Miller Moss got benched, you know, 2/3 of the way through last season when they lost 4 out of 5. I had a really rough game against Washington, 3 interceptions, and got benched in kind of a, you know, a youth movement at USC, and feels like he's got a lot to prove. And this is the first time I really feel like Jeff hit the portal looking for a quarterback, wanted this guy, got this guy. Like he wanted Miller Moss. And you can see sort of what he wants out of a quarterback and why he wanted him. He's not as physically gifted. Like, he's not 6'5", 240 like Tyler Shuck was. But decisive. And if there's one thing that I've really learned from Jeff the last couple of years, like, he values in a quarterback, like, you cannot play passively. You cannot play fearfully. Like, you've got to, if that's the throw, make the throw. If it's high risk, fine. But if that's, like, make it. Don't be indecisive. And Miller Moss is not that. The players really gravitate towards him. He stands out in practice. Like, if you didn't have numbers on, you would be able to tell, okay, that's clearly the starter. I think it's a good marriage. And really, of the three quarterbacks that Jeff's brought in now, he drops into really the best situation with what's around him on the offense, for sure.
No question. I want to talk to you about some of those skill position guys, because one of the things I love about this roster, Mark, that they have going into the year is it looks like they're starting 22. 18 of those guys are going to be seniors. So a ton of experience on both sides of the ball, including that wide receiver group. Give us a name or two, some targets to look out for this year that you think could definitely help them at the wide receiver position, tight end, running back as well.
Yeah, well, it starts with the two running backs, the two now sophomore running backs, Isaac Brown and Duke Watson. Isaac Brown, it took him a little while, I think, to sort of win the coaches over that he ought to be the guy. But by the end of the year, you know, he had 1,100 yards on like 160 carries. Like, he barely carried the ball at all. It was just a huge, big play back. And then by the end of the year, Duke Watson, the other freshman, had come along and was over 600 yards on like 60 carries, like just almost 10 yards a carry down the stretch for those guys. And they were huge. And Isaac Brown was well over 100 yards against Clemson, well over 100 yards against Kentucky in kind of the rivalry game at the end of the year. Like, these guys really emerged as what makes the offense go. And I'll give Jeff credit. He has this reputation as a quarterback's wide open, throwing it guy. But when he's got running backs, like, he will build the offense around what they're good at, and those guys are really going to make everything go. But they have wide receivers. The two of the top three receivers from last year, Chris Bell is a huge, physical, kind of in the DK Metcalf kind of mold, a big guy. If I told you he was a linebacker, you'd probably believe me, you know, if just looking at him. And Colin Lacey was really, I think, the guy they were super excited about a year ago as a slot receiver. And then he hurt his collarbone in the preseason and barely played at all. And so they got him back for the bowl game. He's been fully healthy through spring and fall camp now and really looks the part. So a lot to work with around Miller Moss, better than either of the other two quarterbacks inherited.
Quick thought on the other side of the ball, Mark. When people think Louisville, they think Brom, they think offense. The defense, though, his first couple of years has been pretty good. This one, again, a lot of returning pieces, some older guys. What do you expect from the defense this year?
I don't know, you know, and so I don't want to, you know, overpromise or you know, fake take it here that I think the defense can be good. This is the biggest question mark that the defense has been coming into a season. They lost two huge kind of stalwart pieces on the defense, and Ashton Gelati up front is now playing for the Chiefs. Quincy Riley now playing for New Orleans, and both of those guys kind of pushing for early time. I'd be lying to you if I said I knew for certain where the production will come. On the defense in place of those two guys. But, you know, last year's defense wasn't great in the biggest games, especially like the first half of the year. They gave up 52 to Miami, you know, well into the 30s against SMU. But by the second half of last year had sort of settled down. The issues really are like assignments and teaching. Like, it's not necessarily been, you know, personnel. It's can we not have bus? You know, you do a great job defending Notre Dame for that whole game and then give up a huge touchdown late in that one with a coverage bust. It's far more about, I think, assignments and just this being a sound defense, because they're going to be so good offensively. Mm-hmm. If you can just be adequate to good and don't give up a bunch of chunk plays that really change like the feel and the vibe of games, you should have a chance in just about every game you play.
Mark, we'll leave you with this, about 30 seconds. I think it's interesting at BetMGM right now, there's a couple of bets that are the same price. Plus 350 for either Louisville to make it to the ACC title game, so they don't even have to win, just to make it, or plus 350 to make the college football playoff. We obviously saw SMU make the playoff last year, losing in the ACC title game. Which one would you rather bet? Would you just take the cards to make it to Charlotte, or bet them to make the playoff if you had to choose?
If I had to bet, I would take Charlotte, because you have far more control over that. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned earlier, you play Miami, you play SMU, you play Clemson. You're going to have far more control over that. And this year in the non-conference, you know, Eastern Kentucky, James Madison, Bowling Green, not great. They don't play Notre Dame like they have in several of the previous years in the non-conference. And Kentucky's not nearly as good as they were just even a couple of years ago, to where it just feels like there's going to be less grace for a Louisville team in terms of playoff consideration, unless they outright win the ACC. And so just not quite the same, I think, resume opportunities, unless some teams in the ACC turn out to be a whole lot better than we expect. I just don't think that they're going to get that same thing. And I think that's going to be true, by the way, of just about everybody in the ACC. They gave SMU the benefit of the doubt last year, and we've spent the whole summer griping about it. And so I'd be surprised if anyone in the ACC gets that in back-to-back years.
I think it's a great point. Great talking to Mark Ennis, host of The Drive on 93.9 The Ville, Mondays through Fridays, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you guys give Mark a follow on X at Mark Ennis. Mark, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks for stopping by. Hope to catch up again at some point during the season.
Anytime, guys. Anytime.
All right, great stuff there. Mark Ennis talking Louisville Cardinals. We will continue talking Louisville here on Send It In. Lamar Jackson Day. We're going to get to the Ravens here in a moment as well. Thought Mark brought up some really good points, though, on Louisville, right? And kind of the first thing that jumped out to me, you guys, when we look at this schedule, again, the bye week situation for Louisville is brutal. This is something they had to deal with last season. They're going to have to deal with it again. Now, they were able to get a bye week later on in the season, so when they played seven straight games, they were kind of able able to catch their breath down the stretch. This year, not going to be the case. And as you see, after they have that second bye week on October 11th, that's when the schedule really starts to pick up. So it's tough, man. I mean, you don't need a bye week in week three after playing Western Kentucky and James Madison. Then you get Bowling Green, as Mark was mentioning. The non-conference schedule really isn't that much. But the fact you get that second bye, and then it's Miami, BC, Virginia Tech, Cal, Clemson, SMU, and Kentucky, it's tough for Louisville. The things that are you do like about the schedule, though, is what Mark was saying. Every team that you're probably looking up at as the season starts, the two teams that played in the ACC title game last year, Clemson and SMU, who are maybe the two favorites going into this year again, you get to play those teams. Another really good team, Miami, you get to play them as well. So that at the end of the day is what you want. If you're Louisville, you don't want it coming down to tiebreakers, or you don't want it coming down to chance. You want to be able to control your own destiny. That's what Louisville is going to have the opportunity to do. You get Clemson at your place. You know they're going to be out for revenge after Louisville went in there and beat them in Death Valley last year. You go on the road and play Miami off of a bye week, so you get 2 weeks to prep for that game as well, and then you're on the road at SMU, second to the last week of the year. How about the fact they get Clemson, SMU, Kentucky, back-to-back weeks? You talk about a big-time three-game stretch. But Jeff Brohm is one of the most underrated coaches in the country. As I was mentioning, what I love about this team, they have 18 of their 22 starters, most likely, that we're going to see for Louisville this year, are seniors. In a year of, or in an era of college football with NIL and transfer portal and all these guys taking the bag and moving to different schools, for Jeff Brohm to have 18 seniors on his roster, and a lot of them who have been in that program, I think that speaks a lot to what he's building. Those guys are buying in, and they know they got a really good team this year. So he's a great coach. His teams continue to get better and better as the year goes on. The fact that their two biggest games are two of the last 3 weeks of the season, I think that bodes well for Louisville. The reason their win total is at 8.5, and it's juiced to the over at -160. Now, I would not lay that juice for them to go 9-3 or better. I think that's a crazy bet. The bets that I would look at are the bets that I was talking about with Mark, how you can get both +350 on Louisville to just make the ACC championship, or Louisville to make the college football playoff. I would not bet them to win the ACC because of what I was saying. They have to play 7 straight games to end the regular season. You make it to Charlotte and play in the ACC title game, you're going to have to play another really good team, and that's going to be 8 straight games in 8 weeks. That's a lot for college kids to endure. That's a lot of tax. That's a lot of physicality. So they're going to be reeling a little bit down the stretch. I would only bet them to make the ACC title game at +350. And I agree with Mark. We made such a discussion in the offseason about SMU getting in. Did they deserve it? If the committee was dealt with that decision again, where they had to put in an SEC team or an ACC team that didn't really have a strong non-conference schedule, what would they do this time around? I think that's the bet to make with Louisville, +350 for them to make the ACC title game. I love all the veteran experience on this roster. I like that they play the teams that they'll be battling with in this conference. And I like Miller Moss as a QB with Jeff Brohm. I think that is a great fit. So keep an eye out for the Cardinals this season. They're going to be very good in Louisville. All right, you guys, let's talk a little Baltimore Ravens, my team here on Send It In. And I've talked about the Ravens a little bit on this network, so maybe you guys have heard this spiel before with me when dealing with Baltimore. But as it comes to the schedule, I mean, look, their schedule is tough, man. It hits them right in the face in the first 6 weeks of the season. How about they are in the same exact spot the first 2 weeks of the season that they were last season? Last year, they opened up on the road against the Chiefs in primetime, the team that beat them in the playoffs last year, and then they had to turn around in week two and play a game as a double-digit favorite at home against Vegas, and they lost both of those games, and they started 0-2. It's kind of a similar start. You open the road on primetime, Sunday Night Football against the Bills, the team that beat you in the playoffs last year, and then in week two, you get a very dangerous letdown sandwich spot game against the Cleveland Browns, and Joe Flacco might be making his return to Baltimore. So a scary start to the season for the Ravens. Then you get the Lions on Monday Night Football in Week 3, and then Kansas City in Week 4. I don't think it's crazy to say the Ravens could start the season certainly 2-2. 1-3 is definitely on the table as well. Then you get the Houston Texans, who they have had their number and C.J. Stroud's number so far. And then the Los Angeles Rams should be a heck of a game in Week 6 as well. Ravens are minus 180 right now to win the division, to win the AFC North. Because of the start of their schedule, there's really not much let up in their schedule as well. I mean, their schedule is pretty tough. I think you're going to get a better price on Baltimore at some point. The Bengals, we know, are slow starters, and I think that's a little bit built into this division price. But Burrow's starting this week, tomorrow, in the preseason. The Bengals know they have to get off to a fast start this year. So if the Bengals get off to a fast start, Ravens get off to a little bit of a slower start, you might get closer to a even money kind of price on the Ravens, maybe even plus money on the Ravens to win that division. So I would hold off. I would not bet Baltimore at minus 180 or even parlay them if you want to. Wait until Week 3, Week 4, maybe Week 5, then look to bet the Ravens, because they started 0-2 last year and still were able to win the division. Keep in mind, too, since this AFC North was formed, Ravens, Steelers, Bengals, Browns, no team has won the division three straight years in a row. So it's something we haven't seen done. I don't think the Ravens are exactly going to run away with this division from the jump. I think it's going to be a little bit difficult, especially at the start. So I would look to bet the Ravens to win the division, but wait maybe until Week 5 or Week 6. And then obviously when it comes to the Ravens, the big discussion is, will this be the year? Will this be the year that they finally get over the hump? They've had the talent to do it the last two seasons. They've been an unbelievable team. They came up short against Mahomes and the Chiefs in the AFC title game at home. Then last year against Buffalo, turned the ball over three times. Mark Andrews, of course, has the drop on the two-point conversion. And now this year, man, you look at their team. Where's the holes on the Ravens roster? There's really not many. You got an MVP at quarterback. You got a Hall of Famer at running back. They have a really good receiving core, two good tight ends, a good offensive line. Their defense, they might have the best secondary in football with the additions of Jaire Alexander getting Malachi Starks in the draft. Linebacking core is still really solid with Roquan Smith, and then they got Mike Green out of Marshall in the draft to help with their pass rush as well. And the key for the Ravens, too, is that they retain both of their coordinators, bringing Zach Orr back for year two as their defensive coordinator and Todd Monken back as their offensive coordinator as well. Something they haven't had in a long time. I think the biggest question mark this year with the Ravens certainly is maybe their special teams, right? No more Justin Tucker for the first time in a long time. Jordan Stout, their punter, has been inconsistent here early on throughout his career. So, I mean, the Ravens had arguably the greatest kicker of all time, and now you go from that to special teams being a little bit of a question mark, and Tyler Loop, the rookie, is going to take over the kicking duty. As for the Ravens, though, when it comes to winning the AFC or winning the Super Bowl, as much as I would love nothing more than to bet the Ravens to win the AFC or to win the Super Bowl. The reason I can't do it, though, is because of John Harbaugh. And I think a lot of people find that crazy. John Harbaugh won a Super Bowl with the Ravens. He's proved that he can do it. The problem is John Harbaugh coaches the Lamar Jackson Ravens like he coached the Joe Flacco Ravens. And both of those teams are two completely different teams. Any Ravens fan will tell you, when Joe Flacco was the quarterback for all those playoff runs, we wanted the Ravens to throw the ball. We wanted the Ravens to go four wide, five wide, and just throw it to Bolden, Torrey Smith, Dennis Pitta. The offensive line was awesome. Flacco made unbelievable decisions, and the Ravens were great when they threw the ball in the playoffs. With Lamar's teams, you gotta be able to run the ball and run the ball early and often and continue to run. And that's the problem that the Ravens have gotten to themselves when they get to the playoffs and they come up short year after year. They don't run the ball as much as they need to. And when they play against the Chiefs or the Bills and it's this matchup of Lamar versus Mahomes or Lamar versus Josh Allen, it feels like Harbaugh and the Ravens have kind of built up this idea in their head that they need to prove to themselves and everybody that they can win games through the air, when all they need to do is run the football. The Ravens, the three best teams that they have had in the Lamar Jackson era, were the 2019 team when he won his first MVP, and then the last 2 years when they lost to the Chiefs and the Bills in the postseason. All of those playoff games, the Ravens abandoned the run one way or another. The playoff game against the Titans in 2019, they only had six carries for Mark Ingram and 3 carries for Gus Edwards. Only 9 carries for their running backs against the Chiefs in the AFC title game. A lot of you might remember they only had 6 carries with their running backs in that game. And then last year against Buffalo in the postseason, Lamar Jackson had 0 design runs. Not a single design run for the greatest rushing quarterback of all time against Buffalo. That is a fireable offense from John Harbaugh, not having a single design run from Lamar Jackson. And what was more infuriating about that is the fact that against the Pittsburgh Steelers the week before was the best playoff game the Ravens have played in the Lamar Jackson era. Derrick Henry ran the ball 26 times for 186 yards, and Lamar Jackson ran the ball 15 times for 81 yards. The Ravens were unbelievable that game. They ran the ball 50 times. They were running the zone read, and Pittsburgh, a team that should know them better than anybody because they play in their division, had no answers for Baltimore and their run game. And keep in mind another thing, too. When the Ravens have played the Steelers like the last 4 or 5 years, usually the Ravens always have the better team, but they always turn the ball over, and that's how Pittsburgh finds a way to win those games. The Ravens didn't have a single turnover in that game against the Steelers because they ran the ball. So the reason I cannot bet the Ravens to win the AFC, I cannot bet the Ravens to win the Super Bowl, is because John Harbaugh still coaches the Lamar Ravens like he coaches, like he coached the Joe Flacco Ravens, and he needs to run the football. I thought they turned a corner after that playoff game against the Steelers, and he figured out how he needs to win in the postseason, and it's running Lamar. Lamar needs to get double-digit carries in every playoff game. Derrick Henry needs to get 23-plus carries in every playoff game, and then they just revert to their old ways against Buffalo, and they're going to do the same thing again this postseason. So they are capable of winning a Super Bowl. They can do it, but Harbaugh proves time and time and time again, when we get to the postseason, they just abandon who they are. They don't lean on their ground game, and that is, again, why I think they will come up short in the postseason for this upcoming year. All right, let's talk a little golf. We got the FedEx St. Jude Championship down in Memphis. Told you guys yesterday, love me some Sepp Straka this week in Memphis. He is 45-1. I also like Matt Fitzpatrick at 25-1 as well. Matty Fitz, one of the hottest golfers in the world right now, playing outstanding, and he has 3 top 10 finishes on this course. He loves this place, and I think he's going to perform really well yet again. Sepp Straka has been great on courses this year where you need to drive it long and you need to drive it straight. He is top 5 on the PGA Tour in strokes gained tee to green, which is the key metric this week. So those are the 2 guys I'm looking to win outright. Let's go with Tommy Ladd, Tommy Fleetwood, to finish in the top 10. You guys know we'd never bet Tommy to win, but top 10, absolutely Matt Fitz. And then Victor Hovland as well, another guy. This course should be great for him. And what I love about TPC Southwind this week, you don't really need guys with a great short game. You don't need guys that can scramble. It's pretty easy course. You just need guys that are accurate off the tee, are great ball strikers, and that's what Victor Hovland is. So we'll take him top 10, we'll take him top 20, and we'll take Sepp Straka in the top 20 as well. 2 other golfers I would look at this week, Aaron Rye, who's 35-1. I think he could be a guy to watch. He's had a really good year, top 20 in strokes gained tee to green. He's in good form, great ball striker. I think he's got a good chance this week. And then Ben Griffin's had an awesome season, currently battling to get himself one of those spots on the Ryder Cup team. These are the kind of courses that he's been playing well all year. He's cooled off just a little bit, but we're getting 40-1. I think that's a nice price. Keep an eye on Ben Griffin. All right, you guys, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. It's an MLB Parlay Boost token. Swing big on your next MLB parlay. Use this Parlay Boost token to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits. Brought to you by the sportsbook born in Vegas, BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, PJ's plays here on Send It In. Start with a little going streaking. Marcell Ozuna is 11-26 in his career against Jose Quintana. That is a 4-23 batting average. Braves and Brewers today. We're going with Ozuna to get a base hit against Jose Quintana with all that great history that he has against the left-hander. My prop lock is going to be a Yurphy in A's and Nationals at minus 110. Cade Cavalli, who's been one of the top prospects for the Nats for a couple years, been dealing with injury, got the call up, making his MLB debut today. I mean, you guys know I love attacking these situations, getting Yurphies with guys that are making their MLB debut, big-time prospects, so much adrenaline. You know they're nervous. They got to face the top of the order. The A's got off to a great start against the Nationals yesterday. I think they can get off to a good start against them today. So we'll take the Yurphy minus 110 in A's and Nationals. Dog of the day is going to be the Royals at plus 115 against the Red Sox. Michael Wacha going up against Dustin May. Red Sox, the hottest team in baseball right now. They are on fire. I like betting teams, though, who are trying to avoid the sweep against another team. Dustin May comes over at the trade deadline from the Dodgers. Feels like a shorter price at plus 115. I think the Royals are the right side. Give me KC on the money line. And then my best bet's going to be the Marlins at minus 120 against the Astros. Similar thinking. Marlins looking to avoid the sweep. This team's been playing such good baseball. I think they get on the right track today with Jameson Junk on the mound. So give me the Marlins at minus 120. Once again, Ozuna is our play and going streaking. Yurphy in A's and Nats, Royals dog of the day, plus 115. And the Marlins going to be my best bet at minus 120. Thanks again to Mark Ennis for joining us today. Talking a little Louisville, Baltimore Ravens, golf card as well. All available on the Send It In podcast. Make sure you check it out there. We will see you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.